Did you get accepted to a top U.S. MBA program? Are you ready to hit the ground running when classes, clubs, and recruiting for internships start? Perhaps you're a liberal arts grad who's a little nervous about your quant skills. Perhaps you're an international applicant for whom English is a decidedly second language and who has never lived outside your home country. Or maybe you're an introverted quant jock who avoids teamwork and people leadership, but somehow managed to get into an MBA program where you know you will be expected to speak up and work in teams. Any one of you will want to pay close attention to the information today's guest, Yvonne Kerbel, founder of Practice MBA, is going to share. Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast on graduate admissions. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this show. Thank you for joining me.
It's great to be here.
Good, good. Thank you, Yvonne. Before we start, I want to, and we will focus on the transition from MBA applicant to MBA student, I want to encourage you to explore on Accepted.com's website the page entitled MBA Decisions, What Next? This page provides 16 different resources to help those accepted, waitlisted, rejected, and sometimes those who belong to more than one of those categories. We'll include a link in the show notes to this page. It has resources that will help many of you, especially if you have the following decisions to make. Should you accept an offer without a scholarship from a preferred school over an offer with scholarship at choice B? Or how should you choose among multiple acceptances? Or what should you do if rejected by all the schools you applied to? Again, the page is MBA Decisions, What Next? The URL is exhibit.com/MBA/decisions.aspx, and we will have a link in the show notes. I also would like to remind you that I value feedback, good, bad, or ugly, but I especially appreciate any five-star reviews that you may want to leave for us in iTunes. If you find the show valuable, please click on over there at the end of the podcast and share the love. Even if you don't have five-star reviews, I still appreciate the feedback and would love to hear your thoughts either on iTunes or blog or by sending an email to linda@accepted.com. Now, back to our guest, Yvonne. Thank you again for joining us. I had the privilege of meeting Yvonne for the first time when he presented at an Association of International Graduate Admissions Consultants conference in Cambridge a few years ago. At the time, he was director of the Career Development Office at the Yale School of Management. He has also served as senior associate director at Wharton MBA Career Management Office. At different points in time, he has worked for GE, EV's Financial Services, an Idea Lab company, and Katzenbach Partners. Yvonne has an MBA from Wharton, a Master's in International Relations from Johns Hopkins SAIS program, a Master's from the University of Auckland in New Zealand, where he was a Fulbright Fellow, and a Bachelor's from Yale. So from many different perspectives and many different reasons, I think you are superbly well qualified to talk about the transition from applicant to student. But first, can you tell us a little bit about what is Practice MBA and how you came to start it?
Sure, and it's great to join you, and thank you so much for the invitation. Practice MBA and the Practice MBA Summer Forum is a pre-MBA intensive summer residency program for students who've been admitted to business school and who are wanting to train and prepare prior to the start of school. The way it came about has it's been a long time in gestation and has really been a culmination of experiences both at Yale SOM and at Wharton and seeing year in, year out students arrive on campus, and some of them very clearly from the get-go, you know, had a career game plan, had a set of employers, had a set even of alumni contacts, really had sort of done a lot of advanced thinking about what they wanted to do with their business school time. Other students, it was very clear, had a lot of academic preparation, a lot of know-how that made them very familiar with the academic topics, and with a range of other skills and things that are useful in business school, how to facilitate meetings, essentially professional development and leadership skills. One of the things that became clear was that a lot of the extraordinarily gifted, high-achieving new admits to business school were coming from backgrounds or were coming from overseas that didn't make them on an equal footing with their more commercially experienced MBA peers. And so you had very high-achieving professional athletes, former Olympians. I worked with a number of military veterans, people coming from government, public policy, coming from the creative arts and arts management. And for many of those folks, it was clear that no one aspect or dimension of business school was really all that challenging to process and to excel at, but the one thing that happened invariably was it was the combination of all of those things and the time crunch that really left them very little time to execute. You know, people think of graduate school as a great place to discover yourself and find a vision and you know, come to new horizons and new realizations. And my experience with business school is it's the one type of graduate education where the opportunity cost and the price is very steep of changing course midway or realizing 4 or 5 months into it that, you know, a whole another function or industry existed. It's an awful time to play catch up, and not a great use of money to be at a leading business school and to be spending most of your time learning financial modeling, how to look up company information via Capital IQ, how to use a Bloomberg terminal, things that we consider sort of foundational building block skill set and toolkit for MBAs.
Think of business school as a really poor place to discover yourself. I think you should try to do that before you get there.
It can be in many ways, and you know, it's if one has a true sort of transcendent realization, you know, it's never too late to change course.
But change direction, of course.
But the people who can execute from the beginning really do have an advantage. And the other realization I had in the meantime, having, you know, many colleagues in admissions consulting, in career management and business school, is that for students, the gap in time between being admitted to business school and actually starting can be over half a year. It's time that many students could use more profitably given what they have coming up. And many of them, in fact, would email my own MBA program and say, you know, what should we be reading? What should we be doing? And so we realized that if we can take all of those essentially touch typing skills, the building blocks of success in business school across academics, the career search, leadership in student government, extracurriculars, and teach that to students in the summertime beforehand in a concentrated, immersive manner, we would then free them up to be able to focus truly on the high-value offerings of business school itself, to be able to spend more time with faculty, with employers, with alumni, with classmates. And so that's what gave birth to this 3-week intensive summer program, which will be held this year at the University of Washington here in Seattle.
Sounds good. Can you give us, well, I have two questions. I guess you can choose the order you want to take them, but they're separate questions. Let's focus first on Practice MBA. Can you give us a brief overview of the curriculum at Practice MBA, and then I'll come back to the other question.
Great, sure. So there are a bunch of different aspects to the program, the backbone of which is 5 courses that meet throughout the duration of the program and offer students an academic preparation module, a career development module, language and culture orientation, software and research skills, and a 5th course that we call People Performance Lab. To participate in the program, students will take anywhere between 3 and 5 of these courses. Obviously, an American student going to business school in the U.S. doesn't need the language and culture orientation. Conversely, if you're an international student coming to the U.S. or to Western Europe, you may not need the academic preparation program. You may have an undergraduate degree in business or economics or marketing, for example. So there's flexibility in that curriculum. There are a few pieces there. Most of it is geared to, you know, fundamental things that will help you survive and excel, especially during the first year of business school. But there are elements there that are also extremely useful throughout the rest of business school and in your professional career. And that 5th course specifically has elements, whether it's active listening skills, business writing, influencing others, managing change, that are the type of things that are more often taught in the corporate environment when you are, let's say, 5 to 7 years out of business school and somebody has identified you as being on a leadership track for your organization, but they realize you could improve your communication skills or you could improve your time management or personal organization. So it's really a self-governance and personal performance class. The other pieces are all, you know, the name sort of says it all. The career development module is all of the self-assessment instruments and a lot of the beginning, the embarkation of all of the strategic planning, learning about industries and functions, understanding the first to second year MBA recruiting process, and having a lot of familiarity in the beginnings of practice with things like how to manage coffee chats, how to do case prep for consulting interviews. It's meant to be very holistic. Similarly, the academic preparation program is meant to cover all of the department, the big departmental verticals within business school, so that when you are ultimately in accounting class, it's not the first time you will have heard of an income statement or a balance sheet. Again, if you're coming from a background that is different, and I should mention that in many programs, the core MBA courses include everybody in your class, and that means there you are in accounting with people who are CPAs, and the class is graded on a hard curve, and if you're in the bottom decile, you may have to take the class over again. And so all of these things sort of connect in ways that, you know, you want to be able to sail through as much as possible, to have as much time on your hands and be effective. Language and culture orientation has, I think, if anything, attracted the most interest on the part of students and universities. And one great advantage of our program is that you get close to a month of being in the U.S. before the start of business school. There are very specific modules and subsets of our curriculum that are focused on, for example, the experience of a Chinese student in the U.S. And there's also information and modules for students who are going to business school in the UK, in Canada, in Spain, or France.
Simply really for U.S. then, right? It's not exclusively U.S. schools or U.S. MBA students.
Correct. It's not exclusively for the U.S. It includes the Western European business schools where English is the primary language of instruction. At the end of the day, we expect that our mix will be more heavily geared to the U.S., but we'll include a good amount of European-bound students as well. We expect about half of our students in the end, in the final tally, to be internationals, and I'm also hoping that we will be at gender parity in terms of the composition of our summer forum.
But you mean 50-50, or you mean... Parity obviously normally means 50, because that would be surprising given the makeup of most MBA programs.
It would, I've heard for years on end why it is in fact so difficult to have gender parity in business schools, and you know the applicant pool. There's a difference in the demand curve side, but I think our program, you know, is specifically interesting and will attract folks who do want to have more of an entree and a segue into business school life, and whether that means women MBAs, whether that means diversity candidates, international students, this is all a process to make them all, you know, much more familiar and balanced, and to really allow them to optimize their time once they're in school.
Okay, great. For those members of the MBA class of 2015 who are not going to be among the 220 participants in Practice MBA, what are the three things they should be doing between acceptance and the start of class? What would you recommend?
For sure. I have one recommendation that I may be hearing about from my colleagues in admissions, but I actually think it's a very good idea to send a direct email to the admissions office, to the people who have admitted you to the business school, to thank them, and also specifically to ask them for feedback, to ask them, are there areas of improvement? You don't have to be a conditional admit to seek feedback, and you can seek feedback when you're accepted, not only when you're denied to a business school. And what I would say to rising MBAs is, you know, don't worry about this. You've already been admitted. You know, the admissions office isn't going to be grading you in your coursework. It can be a really good opportunity for them to say, well, gosh, you know, this is an area where if you had time and can take the effort to do something to hone your skills, it might really help you. So that's one recommendation. I think another is to reconnect with everyone who has helped you along the way, whether that's your recommenders, current and past colleagues, family members, friends who are current MBAs or MBA alumni. And, you know, and ask them kind of a genuine open-ended question about if they had to visualize a successful outcome for your going to business school, what would that be? It's quite often a great way to, you know, it's a great question to ask also of people who aren't in the business school realm and world, and it's a great way to have some really healthy food for thought as you begin the sort of the career management, career development process. You're essentially leveraging your personal advisory board. And then the last thing I would recommend, and you know, if you're not participating in Practice MBA Summer Forum, this is probably de facto the savviest thing to do, and that's to actually find out what the core MBA textbooks are that will be used or that will most likely be used in the year that you're entering school, and purchase them in advance and read them, not necessarily for pleasure, but not at the same time, you know, to do all of the exercises. Just go through each of the chapters once so that you have kind of a familiarity and a comfort level with all of the topics and themes. I think those are all good things to do, as is reading current business news, keeping track of business blogs. All of that can be extremely helpful.
Reading the Wall Street Journal, when I remember when I was doing my MBA, you know, it was like mandatory to start with that.
Absolutely, and there's a reason many schools have subscriptions, and there's a stack of papers waiting each morning at the doors of school, and that is it's just you students do need to start thinking about business as though they are an actor on the grand stage of the business world, because they have been and or they're about to be, and so it really is important. I found more recently students have been really quite savvy about picking specific blogs that are of interest to them, whether those are about, you know, media and entertainment industry or sports management or real estate, any of the other sort of topics that they may want to develop deeper expertise and deeper sort of awareness of current events as they start both their academic experience and their job search.
Okay, great. Now, speaking of the job search, you have enormous experience both as a career management at Wharton, as Director of Career Management at Yale SOM. From a career management perspective, what is the most important thing that MBA applicants can do before they apply? So I'm going back in time a little bit. I'm really asking a question more geared towards next year's applicants than this year's applicants waiting, you know, either who have either already heard or are waiting a response from the school. What should they be
I think...
From a career management perspective.
Yeah, my perspective is that there is enough time both in the admissions process and in the career, the MBA internship, MBA full-time job search process for people to really... for people to genuinely understand who you are and what your interests are. Quite often you have multiple rounds of interviews. In some cases you've met with over 20 people by the time you get a full-time offer at a specific firm. I think in that situation, it's very difficult to be ingenuine. It's very difficult to sort of assume a mantle and say, you know, I'm going to pretend to be interested in this, and here's my story, and here's my pitch. And I found that the stories and the elevator pitches that work the best are the ones that happen to be true. And so I really encourage, amazing how that works. So I'd encourage students to really think about what their genuine interests are, not worry too much about where, you know, macroeconomic trends are taking the, you know, sort of the opportunities. One of my MBA students said in orientation a couple of years ago, gosh, here I am at the start of my two-year MBA, and I have to prepare myself for a job that doesn't yet exist. She was interested in energy and sustainable business. I have to prepare myself for a job that I will need to get in 2 years' time that doesn't exist at the moment. And so it's kind of hard to sort of chase where the trends are going, and much better to sort of to truly reflect on your own just innate interests and capabilities.
And then do something that you think you'll enjoy and be much happier that way, for sure.
True. And Linda, it's interesting as we think about what is the ideal student for our own summer forum. We have a strong strong bias for students who don't view business school as, I now have this golden ticket, I've been anointed, and because I'm part of this story and this network, the path will be smooth for me. And I think instead we're looking very much for folks, and these also tend to be just much more fun folks to be around, who realize that business school is, an incredible opportunity, incredible inflection point in their lives and careers, where they're taking on bigger challenges. They're in a much more competitive environment than they might have encountered before. And it's those folks who really view it as a chance to give it their all, and pull every lever that they can, grow, expand, that are the folks we're seeking, and the folks we hope participate in our program.
Right. It's really a bridge. It's a bridge between where you're at and where you want to go. Sometimes where you want to go will change in the course of the program, but
It's true, and I think our goal is to have students come out of our program without sort of there being some surprise. Suddenly they discover there's an industry called private wealth management, and they had never heard about it before, and here they are, end of spring semester in year one, and they have to completely reorganize their search to accommodate that. So some advantages of our program are that we've taken a lot of the best practices and tools across business schools and the private sector, and we've brought them all together in one curated, comprehensive whole to prevent students from having to go and pick up the 18 different pieces, everything from financial modeling via Excel to better presentation skills, and to have to create that entire curriculum on their own. And it's very important for us that it's in person and live, and the whole vision of our business is that we stake our reputations alongside those of our students, and instead of running sort of a massive open online, virtual anonymous business, that we handle only so many students in any given year, really focus on their success, create opportunities for them to stay in touch with us throughout their time in business school and even beyond. And ultimately, it's my dream that I'll continue to be recognized in airports by former students and have a chance to meet their kids and hear about their new business endeavors. And so it's really meant to be a very long-term, sustainable, small business. It's closely held, and it will always be in person at about 200 students per summer.
In one session in the summer, right?
Correct. And for this coming summer, our maximum capacity is 220 students. And that sounds like a big number. There's some business school classes that are that size. On the other hand, what we're doing is attracting and selecting students from across the 15,000 plus who are starting business school in the top 30 or so schools this coming fall.
How does Practice MBA differ or supplement school orientation programs for applicants, for students actually at that point, be they international or domestic? I mean, almost all the top schools have orientation programs.
Yep, and it's important to point out that we're not trying to supplant or replace what business schools do, but essentially to give students a chance to do all of the pre-work and not, wave out of the career development process or wave out of extracurriculars or the various student academic services opportunities, but to have done a lot of that early, to have done it at a time when it's sort of evaluative free, they can really focus on it, and they can spend greater time doing it. And so in a few instances, we've been able to work a bit more closely with schools to essentially take input and requests from them about specific modules, specific choices of software packages that we that there should be greater emphasis on. And the goal is to be able to tailor those students' experiences really well so that then there's a very smooth transition to their starting MBA program orientation and the rest of their business school experience. You know, I should also mention that business schools are always very crunched to provide a lot of that preterm orientation programming. What that invariably means is, you know, and they generally do it for the class as a whole, and much of the times it functions as a great intro to a topic or it functions as a great refresher to a topic if you've had experience in it before. But we found it really, you know, will not take somebody who has had no prior exposure to the topic to a level where they've got facility and comfort and they can sort of hold their own on an equal footing with their more commercially experienced classmates, for example. And so I think part of the genius in the sense behind this business is, you know, a school the size of Wharton, very big MBA program, you know, may not have the faculty resources and time to create programming for, you know, 12 of their students. But if we work with 12 students from 10 different business schools, then we can build a very specific, a very niche type of program and be very effective for that population. So it's a great way for us to support the pre-MBA preparation process for students. I think schools have both seen it as a great, you know, cost-free way to sort of increase the competitiveness level and the basic MBA readiness of their new admits. Some of them have also been interested in the opportunity to convert already admitted students who may be considering attending another MBA program. So offering to financially support their practice MBA summer form experience gives them another sort of kind of differentiated mechanism to help get that student to attend that program. For the students, it's another interesting network of fellow MBAs who are going to business schools all over the rest of the U.S. And Europe, and that's a neat additional network to have. So there are a lot of, you know, neat elements beyond the bones of the program to consider.
That sounds great. So the schools are generally supportive of practice MBA?
The schools have been supportive. I think, you know, one of the nice things for me is I've been a director of a MBA career development office. I've worked at two schools that pride themselves in the integrity of those programs. I myself was an MBA. I was also part of the recruiting and hiring process of MBAs when I worked as a management consultant, and so I've been in this space long enough, and it's true also of the rest of the principal faculty in our program, that we, you know, each of us already have a great deal of experience working directly with the students at leading MBA programs. I should mention that the rest of our team, including our MBA career coaches, and we'll be bringing on another 2 to 3 people later on this springtime, but we are ourselves two HBS alumni, two Wharton alumni, one Chicago Booth, one Yale SOM, a Cal Berkeley Master in Science, and we've worked to manage career development curriculum, orientation programs for international students, mock interviews, career development workshops, you know, the full breadth of programming at schools like Wharton and Yale and Columbia and Chicago. And so the nice thing about creating this program is instead of giving this sort of idea of a pre-MBA intensive summer residency program to folks who have, you know, have to design a curriculum from scratch and deliver material and workshops that they've never delivered before, instead we've brought together people who already have truly terrific track records and are trusted by schools to work with their MBAs to essentially do what they do best with some modification for our sort of format and timing during this coming summer.
That's great. Sounds wonderful. I think our podcast is just about over. Yvonne, where can applicants learn more about your work and about Practice MBA? Did you mention think on a previous call something about a discount for participants who sign up before a certain date.
Yes, it's a great point. Beyond April 15th, our costs for our venue, for our residential hall at the University of Washington here in Seattle, become higher. And so students who look at our website at www.practicemba.com, so that's www.practicemba.com, for those who register in full before mid-April, they have a 50% discount on the housing and dining option. And I should also mention about our venue that it's a brand new facility that was just finished this past October at the University of Washington's West Campus here in Seattle, and it's got a gorgeous 220-seat auditorium and classrooms and an attached cafe and grocery store. And unlike July in New York, which tends to be sweltering, or July in San Francisco, which tends to be foggy and freezing, it's really just the most idyllic time of year to be here in Seattle. So we will actually have some social events and outings. On Fridays of the program, we'll have professional forum where we will invite MBA alumni across different industries and functions to come share their experiences with students. There are a couple of company visits in the works, and as you know, Seattle is the home of Amazon and Starbucks and Microsoft and Boeing and a number of just outstanding companies. So it's going to feel very much like business school, which is the point.
Right. Well, I don't know. Not all business schools are in a city as beautiful as Seattle. It's just a gorgeous place. I also want to mention to our listeners that I'm going to put a link in the show notes to Practice MBA, so if you visit there, it'll be really easy for you to get to. Yvonne, thank you so much for being our guest here today and sharing the Practice MBA story as well as your advice for MBA applicants who either hope to or soon will become MBA students. I'm confident that applicants who follow your advice, not to mention participate in Practice MBA, will be able to hit the ground running when it's time to drink out of the fire hose called B-School. Listener, thank you, too, for joining us. Please share your feedback. 5-star reviews on iTunes are always welcome, as I keep telling you. And you can leave feedback on iTunes, the blog, or by emailing Linda@accepted.com. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.